Amen. You have your Bibles. Let's go back to Genesis. I'm going to continue in the series that I began last week. It's not really a series, but it's a string of messages because I want to get some things going in our hearts about authority and how to live in authority. Genesis chapter 1, 26 through 28 is our theme verse that we used last week, and I'll read it again in case you weren't here last week. But Genesis 1, 26 to 28, God said, "Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion or authority over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and all the creeping things that creep on the earth." So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them, and he said to them, "Be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, over every living thing that moves on the earth." And God was speaking to mankind that he had created. He said, "Listen, I want you to have dominion. I want you to have my authority. I want you to understand my authority. I want all of us to understand how to use our God-given authority to bring salvation to the earth. To bring salvation to the earth. I want us to understand the mystery of the authority. Like, how do you get it? And once you have it, how do you use it? How do you apply it in daily life?" See, all of us need to realize and we need to decide, you know, do we have a departure mentality or a dominion mentality? And I spoke about it last week. I even sang about it last week, how most churches have a departure mentality. We're living our lives just with a focus of trying to get to heaven. I'm not going to sing this week because I don't want to run nobody off. But I am going to just tell you that you have to decide. You have to set your theology. Do you have an escape mentality? You just want to get out of here? You just want to get to heaven? Or do you want to tap into heaven and bring heaven to earth? I made up my mind. I want to go in my secret place in the presence of the Lord, and I want to go into the heavenly realm, and I want to be changed by his glory, and I want to bring that change to the earth. I want to open up his word and learn the biblical truths and laws of his word. And I want to begin to apply them to my heart so that I can impact the world with dominion and truth. I don't want to be subject to whatever's going on all around me. And I'm subject to everything else like everybody else. I am not that guy. I'm not going to sit around all day long and talk about what the devil is doing. I don't have a focus in my heart of it's just getting worse and worse. And it is, but not for me. Not for you in the body of Christ. Everything that may be falling apart around you, but we are intentional about saying, "I'm living under God's authority and in God's dominion, and I'm taking authority over everything that isn't right in my life, and I'm bringing a new system into play." See, I'm bringing a new system in. I'm not just trying to operate the way I've always operated. I'm in the kingdom of God now. And there are operating laws in the kingdom of God. He has a different way of doing things, and I'm submitting myself to that. And I'm making up my mind. I'm not giving up the earth. I'm going to take over with the Spirit of God in me. I'm going to take over the situations and circumstances in my life and bring the peace of God into it. In Matthew 6 and verse 9, he was teaching his disciples, "In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." He's teaching his disciples. He's saying, you get into the spiritual realm and you open a portal or you open a window. You bring heaven to earth. Somebody gave me a word this morning that when we're doing the prayer time, and said, "My wife just saw a ladder and you were a ladder. And God was using you as a ladder." Well, God wants me to help you to understand that there is a ladder for you to go into heaven and bring down spiritual truth and to operate in the principles of heaven on the earth. We do not have to let this world dominate us. We are to dominate the earth. Darkness never has power over light. There can never be enough darkness to overpower the light. But light will always overpower the darkness. And when we realize that we are the light of the earth, that we have dominion over the earth, and listen to me, you have authority over the devil in every area of your life. You have the authority over you, and you have authority over the devil. You have the power within you to bring change to the world. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. I made up my mind. I refuse to sit around talking about what the devil is doing. I refuse to wake up every day and spend hours at a time watching Fox News or CNN News or NBC or in any of that stuff. I'm not going to sit around and put all that garbage into my mind and wonder why I'm not operating in kingdom authority. We have authority over the devil. In Luke chapter 9 and verse number 1, Luke 9 in the Bible, Jesus calls his disciples together and he gave them power and authority. Then he called his 12 disciples together and he gave them power and authority over all demons to cure diseases. And he sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. This is the assignment that the body of Christ has over them. When you come into faith in Christ, you now get an assignment from heaven to take the kingdom of God to the earth and dominate with it. Rule with it. Use his spiritual authority and apply it to your life and walk in his authority. Walking in spiritual authority is the key to living a victorious Christian life. In Matthew 16, 19, he said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on the earth will be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on the earth will be loosed into heaven. Authority is the key to living out your Christian life. And listen to me, authority must be intentional. It's not accidental. You don't just operate in kingdom authority because you gave your life to Christ. When you gave your life to Christ, you now have access to biblical authority, and that authority comes from his word. And if you think you can just randomly just apply his word, you're so sadly mistaken. That's why so many Christians are weak and defeated, because they're not applying the truth of God's word to their lives daily. When you daily approach his throne, open up his word, you're creating order in your life, and that order brings authority. We understand that spiritual authority, when we use spiritual authority, we have the power to create our destiny. You create your destiny by the word that you apply to your life daily. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, I'm going to show you the system of this earth. I want you to understand the system of the earth, because if you don't understand this, you're never going to step into kingdom authority. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was without form, void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. I'm going to give you some keys, and if you're taking notes, maybe write these down so you can just begin to study on it. The world was in chaos. When God stepped onto the earth, when God created the heavens and the earth, he created it to be in chaos. I'm just showing you. That word without form and void in the Hebrew is the word tohu, T-O-H-U-W, tohu. And it means chaos or confusion. God created the earth to be in chaos and confusion. It was without form. It was void. The only thing that has to happen for chaos to exist is nothing. The only thing that has to happen for chaos to exist in our lives is nothing. It's the default position of the earth. It's not accidental. It is purposeful. He did it on purpose. He created it that way on purpose so that you can see and know when something comes into order, there is a hand of, there's something greater than the earth that's causing that to happen. It's not accidental. It's the default position of the earth. And it's just not for earth, it's for mankind as well. There's a reason that the Bible says man was formed out of the dust of the earth. It's our default position. It's chaos. Man is made of the earth, and our default position is just like the earth. It's chaos. The more pressure you're put under, the more you will lean to a default position if you're not intentional about spiritual authority. Let me just show you, because I can just find this in everybody's life right here. I can find it in everybody's life. My wife, as a little girl, when she would get mad, she would throw temper tantrums. Yeah, her mom told me that she would throw, in the grocery store, she would lay down in the grocery store and kick and stomp her feet. Now, she's changed a little bit since then. She's not the same anymore. All right? She's not that way. Because of the regenerated nature of Christ coming into her heart, she's changed. But a lot of you, your default position is temper tantrums. When you find yourself in a situation, you get temper tantrums. Can anybody relate? Some of you, your default position is pouting. You just pout. When it doesn't go your way, when things aren't working out right, you get into a pouting position and you just pout. Some of you are in blame. You blame everybody for everything. Your default position is blame. And if you tend to gravitate towards your default position, it will always lead to chaos. It's never going to lead you to peace. It's never going to lead you to joy. It's never going to lead you to the fruit of the Spirit. It will always lead you to chaos. It's a default position. Some of you have a temper problem. Like, you get angry at getting angry. Can anybody relate? Like, you're mad at yourself because you got mad. It's just like this angry position that you go to. Others of you, your default position is you just want to run away. You just want to bail out. I don't want to argue, I don't want to fight, I just want to leave. I'm just going to get in my car and I'm going to leave. It's my default position. It's just, I'm going to exit the situation. I'm not going to stay here and work it out. I'm just going to leave. And if you stay in that default position, it's going to lead to chaos. Some of you, it's isolation. The moment pressure comes on you, and the moment you feel like overwhelmed with situations, your default position is isolation. And so you move into isolation, and you just get alone, and you just think it's going to get better just by you going off in a quiet place all by yourself and sitting there. But it's not. That isolation will lead you to chaos and defeat. Why? Because it's our nature to go into chaos. When God created the heavens and the earth, chaos was ruling the earth. It was without form. It was without void. It was confusion. And there was nothing living. There was nothing living on the earth. And when God made man, he did not leave him in chaos. He took man, who has the propensity to go to chaos, and he said, listen, I'm going to create and I'm going to bring into order a garden. And he planted a garden east of Eden. And he took man and he placed him in the garden. He didn't place him in the jungle. He didn't create man and say, okay, I'm going to put you in the middle of chaos and you'll fix the chaos. No, he said, I'm going to take man, I'm going to put him in the garden. And I'm going to order a place around him. And he gave man the commandment to tend the garden. He said, you know, I put man in here and you tend the garden and you have authority. The garden was an ordered place. That's why you feel bad every time you get into your default position. Every time you start going into this default position that's leading you to chaos, you just know it's not right. I'm not supposed to be in chaos. You're not supposed to be, because you are an ordered being. When you were created, you were formed in your mother's womb. God already knew you, and he formed you into the person that you are. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. You're not a boy trying to be a girl, and you're not a girl trying to be a boy. You were created in the way that God formed and fashioned you. You're an ordered being, and he put you into structure. The confusion is that there's no order or structure, and so you can do and be whatever you want to be. Whatever you think you are, that's what you can be. It's like, no, you weren't created that way. You were created with order, and God took you out of chaos, and he put you into an ordered place. And so every time you feel yourself going into a default place, something don't feel right. And the reason it don't feel right is you weren't created to be in chaos. We have to realize that chaos is just built into the system. Chaos is the default system of the earth, and chaos is also the default system of humanity. If nothing happens, chaos is present. The second thing, first thing to know is chaos is the default position. The second thing I want you to know is everything in the universe bends towards chaos. I don't know the law of thermo something. I don't even know what they told me it was. It was the law of thermodynamics or something after church. I had three people come tell me, this is the law of thermo. I don't even know what that is. All I know is when I read the Bible, it was in chaos, and God stepped into the chaos, and he brought order. The law is this. Everything in the universe bends towards chaos. Everything left to itself decays. Everything in the material world is passing away. Listen, we just purchased 40 acres of land. It has a house, it has a barn, and it has a big, huge horse arena, 200 by 80 feet long, and we put concrete in that floor. And there's grass, there's like 14 acres of grass. If we leave it to itself, Kevin, if we don't do anything to it, in about 3 months, you won't be able to see anything, and everything will be covered with mold, and it'll just begin to fall apart. Why? Because chaos is the default system of the earth. And it's not accidental, it's intentional. Because God wanted us to see that when he steps into a situation, he brings order and he stops the decaying and he brings everything to life. You ever notice that weeds grow faster than flowers? You go buy a brand new car, it's beautiful. But the moment you drive it off the lot, it begins a process of decay. If you just let it sit out here in the weather, it won't be long till it'll begin to rust and decay and fall apart. It won't be better later. Unless you take that car and you begin to care for that car and nurture it and do some things that will prevent the rust from eating it, everything will decay. It's just going to fall apart. It's the default system of the earth. It's also the default system of humanity. Listen, if we leave children to themselves, they will not become outstanding citizens. They're not going to learn manners on their own. No child comes out and starts saying, yes, ma'am, no, sir, thank you, please. It's not going to happen. Because if you leave a child to itself, it's going to bend towards chaos. Listen, if you eat everything that you want to eat when you want to eat it, it's not going to turn to muscle. If you don't do sit-ups and push-ups and begin an exercise regimen in your life, you're not going to be six-pack, Mr. Six-Pack, got everything going. It ain't going to happen. Why? Because everything in the earth is bent towards chaos. Listen, and when chaos was on the earth and when it was covering the earth, God comes to the earth, he finds darkness over the earth. Nothing's living in it. And this is what you get when you live in chaos. There's no order. That's why those of us that have friends who have drama in it, chaos, another word for chaos is drama. That's the modern terminology, is drama. And that's why when you get around people who are always full of drama, you don't like to be around them. You ever got anybody in your life like that way? I mean, there are people that we know. I'm not going to mention any names, but as soon as they get in, you know, you could get a project going at the church and say, we're going to do this project. It could be a little simple project. Me and Rich could be there going, okay, this is going to be simple, man. We're going to get the time we bring four or five people into the situation. Now all of a sudden that becomes the most complex drama thing. We could have did it in 30 minutes, but they're talking about we could do it in five, and everybody gets involved. Now it's this big old drama thing that lasts for days. I'm just telling you, there's people like that. Some people complain about everything. Have you ever met anybody just that they will find something to complain about? If you want to understand the mystery of authority, you have to understand the need to separate from drama. You have to separate from chaos. Some people are just addicted to it, man. They're addicted to drama. Their blood pressure rises when they come into I like it. Man, we can start getting into this conflict. I'm in there. I was like, that's chaos to me. I don't want to be around those. I don't want to be around that. Number four. Okay, so one was chaos is the default position. Number two is everything in the universe bends towards chaos. Number three is chaos is the absence of order. Chaos is the absence of order. When God comes to the earth, he finds it without form and void. The first thing that he does is begin to set things in order. That's why when you get around chaos, it wears you out because there's no order. So God comes in and he says, hey, we've got to begin to set out some order in here. Number four is chaos cries for order. Chaos cries for order. We all need order in our lives. When God stepped into chaos, he started giving orders in Genesis 1 and 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw the light was good, and he divided the light from the day. And then he just goes on through the whole chapter. He begins to explain about how God starts setting order. The water can only go so far. Fish stay in the sea. Birds fly in the air. He starts setting every grass will grow here. Seeds will reproduce after itself. What's he doing? He's establishing his authority on the earth. And this is why so many Christians are living defeated lifestyles because they're not operating in Christian spiritual authority. And the reason they're not operating in spiritual authority is they have no order in their lives. There's no order. Everything is crying out for order. And if you don't bring order to your faith and you don't bring order to your Christian life, you can't expect to walk in a kingdom authority. Listen, you don't have the privilege to pray whenever you feel like it. Oh, yeah, I mean, you have the privilege. You can do it. If you just want random answers and random things to go on in your life, just pray whenever you feel like praying. Just read your Bible whenever you want to. This is the way so many Christians operate their faith. They just, whenever they have a problem, they're going to try to read the Bible a little bit. If something's going on, they're going to call everybody and want to pray. But they have no structure and no order in their lives. They haven't set up a system that says, this is order. When I wake up in the morning, the first thing that I'm going to do is I'm going to call upon the name of the Lord. I'm going to enter his courts with thanksgiving. I'm going to enter his gates with praise. Enter his courts with thanksgiving. See, what am I doing? I'm setting up order. I'm opening my word, and I'm studying God's word. I'm learning the scriptures and meditating upon the scriptures. And what am I doing? I'm making my way prosperous. I'm learning how to live in spiritual authority. I'm applying God's truth to my heart daily. This is so important in the body of Christ. You can't just do this randomly and expect to walk in power and authority. You have to wake up every day and say, this is my system. This is my order. Before my feet hit the ground, I will acknowledge my Lord. And when I put my feet on the ground, I will serve notice to the devil that I'm awake and I'm coming after him. I'm not sitting back letting things happen, but I'm marching into the world and I'm declaring, God is greater than anything in my life. Listen, this is not random things. This is not just letting things happen. This is you getting an intentional mentality to say, wait a minute, I'm setting up some order because I know that chaos is all around me. And chaos is going to try to creep into my life and creep into my family. So I've got to prepare myself daily, open the Bible, pray, seek God's face. Order precedes authority, and without order, there will be no authority. The world is filled with people who have no order. Listen, it is impossible for order to occur randomly. God put Adam in Genesis 2:15 in the garden, and he told him to tend it and to keep it. In other words, he was saying, bring order to it. If you see beautiful scenery, if someone paints a beautiful painting and it's like this amazing sunset and you look at that beautiful sunset, you know that that wasn't just random where somebody took a bunch of paint and threw it on a canvas and it just turned out to be some beautiful scenery. It doesn't randomly happen. If you see a house, it just didn't show up. There was a builder for that house. If you see a garden, there's a gardener. It's the same thing in our faith. If you see a man of faith or you see a woman of faith, you know that they are intentional about growing and maturing their faith. They have set up order and structure in their life, and now they're walking in biblical authority. And no matter what comes their way, they cannot lose their joy. They can't lose their peace. They can't lose that presence of the Holy Spirit, because he said he'd never leave us and never forsake us. So when I daily wake up and I get in my word and I read my Bible and I pray and I declare over my family, no weapon formed against my family will prosper. When I'm setting the boundaries and saying, devil, chaos is not getting into my home, it brings us into spiritual authority. You ever see sand where they pour blue sand, then they pour white sand, and then they pour black sand, and they make these layers of beautiful sand? Listen, that is intentional. You don't pour a bunch of sand in there, you can shake it for a million years and it'll never form that beautiful picture. Huh? Why? It has to be intentional. And it's the same thing in our faith. Listen, heaven is a gift. We come to faith in Christ. It is the gift of God that gives us eternal life. But let me tell you something. He tells you and I that we need to begin to operate in our faith. We need to grow our faith. The disciples, first thing they prayed was, Lord, increase our faith. Teach us to pray. Because order doesn't occur randomly. The sixth thing is this. The presence of order tells us that force has been existed over that chaos. That's why God allowed the earth to be chaos when he came and spoke order, so that you would see the difference, the contrast. And that you would know that when you see someone living in biblical authority, you understand that they have set up order in their lives and that God is the Lord of all in their lives. Order doesn't appear randomly. Beautiful yards just don't show up. Whenever we see order, we should just say, God, I want to gravitate towards the source of that order, which is God. Where did that force come from? Where did order come from? It came from God creating. Everybody put your hand on your heart. I want you to say, I am an ordered being. I will create order in my life. I will live with structure. I will have kingdom authority. In Jesus' name. Man wasn't placed into chaos. He was placed in the garden. You were put on this planet to exercise his authority on the earth. God came every day to talk with man in the garden. Think about it. God came every day to talk to man in the ordered place. I can't tell you how many people have talked to me, and Pastor, I just don't hear God. I'm not hearing God. And I just want you to know God is always speaking. Yes, are there moments when we don't hear him as clearly? Are there moments when we don't know exactly what he's saying? Yes, but if you stay in the ordered place, he will give you clarity. If you're in chaos and living in chaos, it's going to be harder to hear his voice. He spoke with man in the garden. So how do you hear God's voice? You get on your knees, you bow your head to the Lord, and you begin to get in that place of peace. Father, I thank you that the peace of God rules and reigns in my life. I thank you that the chaos that around me, the drama that is around me, doesn't have a place in this secret room. Where I'm at today, God, is me and you, and I'm staying in this secret place so that I can hear your voice clearly, so that I can know how to do my day, how to apply your truth to my day. This is the key to living in spiritual authority, is to have an ordered place in your life. It's not random. It's not just if you feel like it. It's not if you need something from God. It's structure that comes over your life. The things of God live in a place of order, and God places things in order. He says, water over here, land over there. Birds in the sky, fish in the sea. It's order. It's structure. It's called order. I'm trying to explain to you. If you continue living in chaos, You will not understand the mystery of spiritual authority. If you want to live in spiritual authority, you have to bring your life into order. You can't come to church whenever you feel like it. You can, but you're not going to have authority in your life. You can't pray when you feel like it. You have to pray when you don't feel like it. You have to read your Bible when you don't understand it. Huh? I don't understand everything I'm reading. I have to keep reading it. I have to keep applying His truth over and over in my life. Because if I know the truth will make me free. The more that I keep saying His truth, declaring His truth, living in His truth, it begins to change and transform my life. We need order. It's not random. God wants you to live with spiritual authority. He wants you to understand. Here's some keys to living in spiritual authority. The first one is this, to be fruitful. In Genesis 1:28, this is a commandment. The Lord blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. Everybody in this room is going to be fruitful. You have to make a decision. What will the fruit be? You're going to be fruitful. You're going to have fruit in your life. It's going to be the fruit of the Holy Spirit, or it's going to be the fruit of unrighteousness. The fruit of unrighteousness, it's found in Galatians 5:19. The works of the flesh are evident, which are idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissension, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, rivalries. And he puts something in there for everybody, and the like. Meaning you might not find yours on this list, but if you... And the like, it's like if you don't understand and know that you're going to have fruit. He said, Galatians 5:22, the fruit of the Spirit is this, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. These are the fruit of the Holy Spirit. What fruit is going to be on your life? You determine the fruit on your life by whatever vine you're tied into. Huh? You're the branches. The branches carry the fruit. But you determine what that's going to be by who you're connected to. If you're connected to chaos and you're connected to drama, you're going to have that kind of fruit in your life. We need godly fruit in our lives. Now, I understand if you just came to faith in Christ, that I'm not trying to make excuses, but if somebody just came to faith in Christ and they were a cusser and they cussed all the time, well, if they're new in the faith and they've just come to faith in Christ and they get mad, they may say something that is inappropriate. Grace, mercy, God's goodness, amen, thank you, Jesus. But if you've been saved for a while, the fruit ought to be changed. You ought to be connected to a different vine and it should start producing different fruit in your life. If you've been saved for a while, you shouldn't still be cussing. I'm not trying to act like I'm holier than anybody. I mean, I'm trying to work on my language as well. You know, I don't have a cussing problem. I really don't. Like, we're even singing that song this morning, and it said damn in there, and I was like, I don't want to say that. What did it say? What was that song? It says we're damned or something in there. Didn't it say that? And I was singing, and I almost, why don't I say that? It's in the Bible. It wasn't using it as a cuss word, but I'm just saying, you know, like you read donkey in there, and it says donkey in one translation. Another one may say ass. I'm not trying to be holier than anybody. I'm just saying, like, there comes a place in our lives where you just start going, man, I want to guard everything that I'm saying. I'm not trying to do it to look good to you. I'm just, the Holy Spirit of God says bring order, and there ought to be this growth process of fruitfulness in my life, and I'm trying to guard myself and keep the right fruit in my life. Does that make sense to anybody? I'm not trying to put guilt and condemnation on you, but if you've been saved for a while, you ought to stop cussing. Huh? If you've been saved for a while, you ought to stop drinking. Huh? You shouldn't still be getting drunk on the weekends and wondering, well, you know, I'm sorry, Lord. I know I'm getting into stuff. But everything in our lives, there ought to be this fruit of righteousness in our hearts. There ought to be like this progressive pursuing the things of God, growing in our faith, maturing, bringing order and structure into our lives. And like, can you understand, like, if you're spending more money at the casino than you're giving to God, something's out of order. I did a funeral for a lady not too long ago. Didn't go to our church. How they got my number, I don't know. They asked me if I'd do the funeral. I said, yeah. The lady was from out of town. She just called and said, hey, I know that you're a pastor in town. Would you do the funeral for this lady? I said, I don't know her, but I'd be honored to be there and speak at her funeral. When we're sitting around talking, this guy was like, man, I said, how did you know? I can't remember what her name was. How did you know her? He said, well, her and I used to go to the casino every week. I said, really? He said, yeah, we go twice a week. I said, you go to the casino twice a week every week? Yeah. I said, do you have like a, like what is your, like, how do you, what do? Do you just take 20 bucks? Or? He said, no, we do $300 a piece, and we would go twice a week. $600 a week, twice a week, they would go and play till they lose their money and then come home. They're not alone, folks. I'm telling you, that place is existing for a reason. Huh? It's still there for a reason, because people will just continually be drawn up there to go play, and they call it having fun, and whatever. If that's your thing, that's your thing. But you ought not be giving more money to the casino than you're giving to God. At some point in your faith, you ought to be growing up in your faith and going, you know what? I got an assignment over my life. I have an order over my life. I'm going to start looking at the fruits of unrighteousness, and I'm going to get them out of my life. I'm going to bring order to my life. I'm going to get in His Word. I'm going to apply His Word daily, and I'm going to live in the Word, and I'm going to produce fruits of righteousness in my life that Christ produces in me that I don't have to do. All I got to do is stay in His presence, and it's natural. Listen, find something you're good at and get involved in it. Create right fruit in your life, because you're going to create fruit. The next thing is this. It has to be in this order. Be fruitful. Get the right fruit in your life. Number two, multiply. Listen, you have a God-given, you have the ability to multiply. And whatever you have in your life, you will multiply out. If you have chaos and drama, you're going to multiply chaos and drama. If you've got love, joy, and peace, you're going to multiply love, joy, and peace. It's going to multiply. Remember, order is very important. Whatever you have the power to multiply. The power to multiply whatever you have. If you have chaos, you're going to multiply. If you have order, you're going to multiply that. And then he says, fill the earth or replenish the earth. What does that mean, to replenish? It means to add a new source to the thing. That's what happens when we come into the kingdom of God. When we give our lives to Christ, there becomes a new order over our lives. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, it said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things pass away, and all things become new. What's he saying? You can't keep living in the same order that you were in. You have to reestablish a new order. You have to reestablish yourself and say, this is my system now. This is how I'm going to approach God's throne daily. This is how I'm going to live out my Christian faith. This is how I'm going to walk out my life in faith. That means whatever's going to govern your life is a new thing, not the old thing. It doesn't govern me anymore, Zach. I'm not going to be governed by my old thinking in my old ways of life, and I'm not going to keep operating in the same manner that I used to. And when I bump up against something that doesn't move, I'm not going to force it and just try to knock it over. I'm going to say, God, in the name of Jesus, I'm taking your word, I'm applying your word, and I'm going to move this mountain. I'm going to speak the truth over this. I'm going to believe it in my heart, and I'm going to make this mountain move with the word of God. Isaiah 43:19, behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth, and you shall know it. It will even make a road in the wilderness and desert and rivers in the desert. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, replenish it, get a new system in your life. And the fourth thing is subdue it. That word subdue means to struggle with it. He said, subdue the earth or struggle against the earth. Lean into the chaos. If you sit back and do nothing, nothing's going to change. If you have passive Christianity, you're never going to see the hand of God move the way that you want it to move. But when you begin to realize this is not passivity, I'm not going to just sit back and allow things to fall apart. I'm going to step into it and bring the peace of God into it and cause every situation to turn around. He said, subdue it, struggle with it. Bring what is in the garden to the earth. You go into heaven. You go into the presence of God. Every day you open up a portal. You open up a window. You begin to pray. You begin to give God thanksgiving. You begin to see him high and lifted up. Isaiah said he is high and lifted up on his throne. His train fills the temple. And it begins to fill that space. And you begin to bring the seeds of the garden to the earth. You begin to plant into the chaos truth. You begin to plant into the drama peace. God created us to live with order and to have dominion. When we take our faithfulness and we begin to multiply it, replenish, subdue the earth, we will live with spiritual authority that will make and cause darkness to leave. Miss Gail, if you'd come up. When I see something wanting to destroy my family, if I do nothing, chaos is going to prevail. Bobby and I probably have the best marriage. I mean, it's very rare that we even have conflicting words to each other. But there are times just like you, when you can just see that the enemy's trying to put a division and put a separation in there. And if I sit back and do nothing, chaos will prevail. My daughter Destiny is 19 and she's getting ready to get married. And it's like I feel like I've got this little window of opportunity with her. She come home from college and we've got a few months here just to reconnect and to bond. But if I don't be aggressive in that, chaos is going to prevail. I have to be intentional about holding her hand. I have to be intentional about just hugging her. Last night, me and Riley sat at the table together and just began to talk. It's like if I don't speak to her for weeks at a time, chaos creeps in. This is why every husband and every wife, every Christian in this room got to realize, if you do nothing, chaos is going to come in. If you don't set up order and structure in your life, the enemy's going to come in and he'll begin to decay it. He'll begin to rot it. He'll begin to tear it down. I've been married 31 years. If I'm not aggressive in working on my marriage, the enemy's going to come in and destroy my marriage, even after 50 years. Why? Because if I'm not working on my marriage, I'm working on my divorce. And so I'm aggressive, and I'm saying, you know what? I'm not letting chaos into my home. And when I see it, when tempers start to flare, when things start happening, I have to step into that situation and bring the peace of God into it. It's the authority that God has given us through his word. In your friendships, in your relationships, Satan's going to come in and try to bring division and try to bring separation because everything left to itself bends towards chaos. But when we understand the power that is in us, the life that is in us, he has given us life and not death. We have the power to speak truth and to bring everything under God's order and under God's rule. The world may be decaying, but I'm not. I'm moving towards life. You say, oh, Pastor Greg, you're getting old, man. You can't even jump anymore. Ah, yeah, but you know what? I'm moving towards life. I'm moving towards divine health. I'm moving towards prosperity. I'm moving towards the things of God. I've got my eyes set on the Lord. I got my eyes fixed on the prize, and I'm not moved with what I see or hear because I know in whom I believe, and I'm fully persuaded that he is more than able. Do you have order in your life? Is there structure in your walk with God, or is this just random Christianity? Are you being good because you don't like the bad people? Huh? I'm being good because I don't like what... No, no, no. I've committed myself to life. Order in my life. Every morning I wake up and I open that word. Carrie, I open that word and say, God, what are you going to say to me today? Because tomorrow won't be like yesterday. Huh? I'm going to face new challenges tomorrow that weren't there yesterday. I can't explain what this week. I felt tired all week long. I wake up in the morning, I'd go come to church or come here, and I'd sit here for a few minutes. I just felt like overwhelmed. Miss Gail sat by me this week in the office. She said, "You look pale. Are you okay?" I'm like, "Yeah, I'm okay. I'm good." I left the office and went home and laid down for a few minutes. Like, where did that come from? If I leave that to itself, if I just don't address that, if I don't look at how I'm eating and what I'm doing and look at my habits and look at what's going on in my life, if I don't set up order in my life and wake up every morning, apply the Word of God to my life, I'm going to progressively go in a wrong direction. But I have a system. I got this system. I wake up in the morning. I say, "Good morning, Holy Spirit. I thank you that you are empowering me to live today." I grab my Bible and I pull my Bible over to my chest. I put my glasses on because I can't read in the mornings without my glasses. And I say, "God, I'm going to open your word. And today you will speak to me. And I will receive revelation knowledge that will empower me to walk in spiritual authority. I'm not hoping it's going to happen. I'm making my way prosperous. I'm making my way. I'm meditating on his word day and night, so that when the enemy comes in, the Spirit of God lifts up a standard against it, and I will not be defeated, and I will not quit." I want to talk to you. Do you have a system? Do you have a system, or do you wake up in the morning, Scott, and just hit the ground running? Do you wake up in the morning, run, get your coffee, and run to your shower, and brush your teeth, and shave your face, and do your whole routine, and you haven't paused for a minute and invited order into your life? You're not going to have spiritual authority. You're not going to have it if you don't get a system of order in your life. You may not be a morning person, but you better be an evening person. Come on. You may not be the morning guy that can get up and do all that, but you better be an evening person. You better set up a system. This is the way I replenish my body. This is the way I replenish my spirit. This is the way I wake up and I fill myself with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I open up his word and I deposit his word into my life, and his word is transforming me into a new creation. Old things are passing away and new things are coming. Why? Because there's a system of order, and because there's order, there is authority. If you believe that, get on your feet and give God some praise. Come on. Come on. Be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth, subdue it. Get the system down. Get the order down. Walk in spiritual authority. Everybody bow your hearts to God and pray right now. Just pray that this message will not be a Sunday morning sermon, but this will be a message into your spirit. God, I speak this truth over the people today. I speak this truth. We are moving from darkness to light. Come on. We're bringing hope to a hopeless world. We're speaking truth, Lord. This is truth. And God, I want to speak to every person in the room and watching online right now. I want to speak to everyone that can hear my voice. If you don't have a system of order in your life, if you're not where God wants you to be, you need to respond to this truth by lifting your hands and saying, "God, I know that's me. I know that's me." There are many people in this room right now. If you were to die, you don't even know for sure you'd go to heaven because there's so much chaos in your life. And God said, I want you to surrender it to me. Get order in your life. Everybody that needs order in your life right now, you say, "You know what? I have some, but it's not what it needs to be." I just want you to lift your hands to the Lord. There's hundreds of hands going up in this room right now. Hundreds, because this is the truth. Everything left to itself leads to decay. You can't leave it to happenstance. You have to be aggressive in your faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, I speak over every hand lifted right now. I speak over every hand lifted right now, God, that even this week, they would bring order into their lives. And they would walk with kingdom authority. They will not be pawns on a chess game, God. They would walk in kingdom authority and realize who they are in the kingdom of God. Everybody pray with this with me. Say, "Jesus, I know you died for me. I choose to live for you. I'm going to be intentional in my faith. I am a child of God. I have kingdom authority, and I will not be defeated, and I will not quit in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Give the Lord a praise, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.